Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
I think we're connected.
Hey, hello, world. You know, I don't even know what to say. But
I understand. It's one of those things where you're not sure if you're. Are we talking to ourselves? Or are we talking to the audience right now? We have had some sort of a technical problem at the onset of the program. We should have started. I see here Frank is writing. So Frank is there. Everything is, you're on, Wendy's on, everybody's here. We're all in our places with bright, shiny faces.
And all you listeners out there, all you listeners, if you're there, I want you to raise your arm and wave. Yeah. I remember Romper Room, Romper, Stomper, Domper, Do, tell me true, of all my friends are here today. Anyway, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and a little moment of... This is Financial Survival, and I'm here, yes, with Alfred Addisk and Wendy Wilson, and we're here to give you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Thursday, February 13th, 2014. And since we're running a little late, I don't know if we want to get to Wendy first and do the market report later, Al, or do we have enough time to...
I'm not going to help you make up your mind on this, Melody. You're going to have to take responsibility. Whichever way you decide to do this, you take responsibility. I'm going to stay out of it. I'll go either way you want to go.
We'll go.
Wendy, what do you think, Wendy?
No, we'll go over these numbers here right now, and then we'll go over them once again after the first break. We have gold up $11 on the New York spot price. It did close up on the futures at about 13, a little over change. So that is a good sign for the futures contracts, gold trading at 1300. Currently, gold in the New York spot is 1303.80. You have silver up 29 cents at 2063, along with platinum up 14 at $1,423. Palladium is up 6 at $736. The USDX today got hammered a little bit, 0.39 to the downside, 80.29. Crude oil still holding at 100. And the paper markets today, or before trading, before the markets opened, you had the Dow down 100 points. They opened the markets even after some bad economic data with retail sales. For last month, they still managed to turn things around. That's probably why gold went up today. They had to plow everything into the paper markets. They ignored gold today. So, but anyway, the Dow was up 63 points at 16,027, along with the NASDAQ up 39. at 42.40, and the S&P up 10 at 18.29. The 10-year yield, 2.74, treading at that level, 0.03. And we'll talk about the retail numbers, the bad economic data, and more about the paper markets. And big deal today with Comcast and Time Warner. It's going to take a year till the end of the year, first of the year, to get the merge complete. That's a pretty big deal going on, and not one piece of cash paper was traded. It's all trading shares, and but that was a big deal with Comcast and Warner, Time Warner Cable, for all of those of you who watch the media. Anyway, we got Wendy Wilson joining us this afternoon from Apothecary Herbs. Welcome to the program, Wendy.
Thank you, Melody. Thank you, Al. How's everybody in the deep freeze?
Doing fine.
Yeah, we got lots of snow and ice.
We're getting through our February without catching the flu or whatever.
Well, good, and, good. Well, today we're going to talk about healthcare under observation because under the Affordable Care Act, the Obama administration is trying to cut back on you know, insurance fraud, especially in the areas of Medicare and Medicaid. And, you know, everybody could applaud that, but at the same time, it opens up a loophole to abuse some of the folks that are under the Medicare or Medicaid. Actually, a listener alerted me to check this out. It's called Under Observation, because if you have Medicare and Medicaid, if you go to the hospital, typically, you are classified as under observation, and therefore, you have to be real careful and watch the clock. Under the rules of the Affordable Care Act, you can't exceed 48 hours under observation, so you have to be either discharged or admitted within that time frame.
Mm-hmm. When you say you can't have more than 48 hours of observation, do you mean on one day, you walk in today, you can't stay for more than 2 days? Do you mean 48 hours of observation over the course of a month or a year, or what do you mean by, what's the time frame?
Well, per hospital visit,
if you go
in there, a lot of times doctors will just, you know, observe you. You may be in the emergency room, you may go to intensive care, and they may just put you under classification of observation. They haven't technically admitted you yet, okay? So you got to be real careful about that. And under the rules, your doctor and you have 48 hours to decide, are you going home, are you going to be discharged, or are you going to be admitted for something? And the same rule applies under the Medicare and Medicaid, and also some private insurance now has that stipulation, but it's 23 hours. It's not 48 hours. So basically, you have to find out what's going on. Some patients are not discharged and they're not admitted within that time frame. And what happens, Al and Melody, is they discover later that they're responsible for all their hospital bills out of pocket. And so
now, are they responsible for all of the hospital bills for the first 48 hours? Or is government picking it up for the first 48 hours and everything after that?
They're not picking it up at all, is what I mean. The admission requirement for Medicare or Medicaid patients is basically an attempt by the government to audit hospitals for insurance overpayments. So let's say you go and you're there and you don't get discharged and you're not admitted within that 48-hour time frame and you're still at the hospital. They haven't sent you home. And they haven't admitted you, and the hospital's not going to let you know about this stipulation. And so what happens is if the hospital has to give back any Medicare or Medicaid patient money at that point under the Affordable Care Act, and so they're going to bill the patient directly. And the reason the hospitals don't really care to tell you about this is because the reimbursements from the government are not very high at all, but they can bill the patient and get everything they need. So they make more money from the patient, you see.
So we're talking about an insurance policy that's designed where, in fact, you're not going to be insured. You have a higher probability, or at least you have some probability, of getting stuck with the bill yourself rather than enjoying any sort of health insurance out of the government. That's a little bit of what you're implying here.
Right, yeah. The big victims under this will be, you know, the elderly, our senior yep. citizens, and the very poor, if they're not aware of this stipulation. So this is what I'm saying. You got to stay on top of that clock, and either you have to leave and get discharged, or you have to have an admission order in order for Medicare or Medicaid to pick it up. Otherwise, the hospital, if they get any money from Medicare or Medicaid, they have to give it right back. So this is kind of a legal loophole, with the exception of New York. New York State has state rules and regulations that they have to inform patients of this stipulation. So majority of the family members, you know, if their family members aren't technically admitted and that 48-hour expires, they're going to be being billed directly. And so they tend to get caught in this government dragnet, if you will, of healthcare. They have to be really careful because the appeals process is a nightmare, Al, and they have to seek some help through the Center of Medicare Advocacy to help navigate all that red tape. Now,
sounds like the solution to the problem is, if I go to the hospital, I've got to put a timer, got to wear a timer on my neck that is set to go off at 47 hours.
Well, that's
and if I haven't
doctor-
been admitted. Or dismissed, discharged, or admitted, by the time the timer goes off in 47 hours, then I have to run down, discharge myself from the hospital, go down the street and have a cup of coffee and maybe some breakfast, then come back an hour later and readmit myself to the hospital. Does that sound reasonable?
Well, no. I mean, sometimes, you know, people go to the hospital and they have a real reason to be there, and their doctors will go ahead and just sign the admission order and send them upstairs, you know. So, I mean, it's just, you know, some physicians, you know, just tend to do the observation thing. So you just have to be, communicate with your doctor on this, is what I'm saying, and don't get caught in this snafu. Because a lot of people are saying, you know, that this is kind of, you know, sneaky, you know, that, you know, these healthcare professionals should at least let you know that this is kind of unethical. But, well, you know, when the government's reimbursements aren't covering the cost, you can see why some hospital administrators and doctors are going to try to seek the most money they can get for their services. So, and they didn't create these insurance rules to begin with. And you got to admit, you know, professionals get paid, volunteers don't, right?
Well, it sounds a little bit like, in addition to my alarm clock that I'm going to wear around my neck when I go to see the hospital, probably I should take a lawyer with me. So he can advise me every step of the way on what the doctors are doing, whether I'm admitted or I'm under observation or I'm discharged, and explain the definitions of these legal terms and what impact they may have. You know, the whole thing just becomes absurd.
Well, you got 27,000 pages under the Affordable Care Act now. It went from 2,500 to 27,000. So there's so much regulatory meat and potatoes to this thing. Nobody knows really what to expect. And unfortunately, when people jump on their exchange sites, like these people that were typically not insurable before the Affordable Care Act took effect, they're all excited. You know, they can get up there and they can get Blue Cross Blue Shield, right? And they are thrilled. They can go to see their primary care physician, and now they have an insurance to cover that. The only problem with this scenario is usually these folks that were not insurable before, they have a lot of health condition problems, pre-existing conditions, and they're usually referred to specialists. And what they're finding out is that the specialists aren't taking the insurance off the exchanges. So what a lot of folks are finding out is they have no doctors really that they can tap into for those problems that they have under pre-existing conditions, and they have a phantom network that they're dealing with. In other words, they're told that they have doctors, but they have no insurance that's accepted, so they really don't have a network of doctors. This is a phantom network that they're dealing with.
So in other words, you could get, what it sounds like is if you stumble into the phantom network,
yeah,
you may get billed for medical care, even though you're not, there's no doctors to provide any.
Well, I mean, they're not accepting it, so it's all out of pocket if you're going to get treated at all. Basically, government's calling this a minor issue. They want to work this out.
A minor issue?
Yeah. Do you want to know how they're going to work this out? They said government regulators and patient advocacy groups are pushing for tougher rules to ensure health plans provide timely access to care. Okay, so let's translate that, shall we? Expect new regulations making it mandatory for healthcare physicians and hospitals to accept the insurance no matter what it pays.
Then this opens the door for, it might be, I could go into the insurance business right now, the health insurance business, and I could present a policy that costs people $50 a month, and if they had that policy, the doctors would be obligated to provide everything up to brain surgery and liver transplants and whatever for $50 a month. I'm being facetious, but
right,
yeah, we're kind of headed in that direction. The other thing that crosses my mind is that in the event I need an ambulance, should we direct the ambulance to take me to the nearest hospital where I may be under observation for the next 48 hours, or should I direct them to take me to the nearest airport where I can fly to Cuba or Mexico and maybe get some actual medical care in a timely manner?
Possibly that be it, because the McKinsey study reported that the Affordable Care Act is offering very limited provider networks. And they said this problem is going to get worse, not better. They said they studied 20 major U.S. cities, which had 30% of the top 20 hospitals, and two-thirds of the affordable care plans offered were ultra-narrow provider networks. So some of these major problems that we're seeing is like Seattle Children's Hospital. They submitted several claims and only heard back on 20, and of the 20, 8 were denied. So this is the Affordable Care Act.
Well, in other words, what you're kind of saying is that for the children, the ultra-narrow application of medical care in a children's hospital might be only for children between the ages of 3.5 and 4. Now, I'm being facetious again, but still, the whole thing, it used to be you could go to a hospital and somebody would help you.
I know.
Now we have to find out if you are politically correct and insured properly and the rest of that sort of thing, and we've got to go through all the paperwork before anyone can find out if we're entitled to health or whatever. Wendy, we are about out of time. Why don't you give people some quick notion of contact information, and we'll have to move on.
Sure. Now's the best time to get informed about what you can do to empower yourself health-wise, and we can help you out at Apothecary Herbs, and you can request a free product catalog, and that number's toll-free at 866-229-3663, or they can visit our website, thepowerherbs.com.
Thepowerherbs.com. Thank you, Wendy.
Yep,
it's Wendy Wilson. You'll be back next Thursday. Look forward to talking to you again. This was interesting information. Folks, you need to watch whether you are under observation or not. I'm not sure if that includes the NSA. Are they playing a role in our health care now? I'm being facetious, I hope. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Where do they go, Al, for all your gold and silver coin needs? We got some great prices. Of course, we mentioned gold is certainly closed above the $1,300 level. Excuse me. I know a lot of you are putting off purchases thinking that it might recapture some of those lower prices. I'm not quite sure what folks want. They complain because it goes down, and then when it goes up, they wait for it to go back down so they can make a buy. And I guess it's a little bit of human nature in there. We base things a lot of on habit and so forth, but this is still a very good price at $1,300 spot. So folks, get into the market. You can't time the market. When you're ready to buy, you just jump in and you make those purchases because you're really looking at the picture. And we were talking about currency revaluation, resets.
Well, wait a second. Let me comment on something here before we get to currency resets. When you talk about people who they can't seem to make up their mind, if the price is going up, they wait for it to go down. If they go down, if it's going down, they wait for it to go down further. And what that's evidence of is a very short-term time frame. Right? They are concerned, ultimately, that if I buy today, I'm going to look like an idiot if the price of gold drops by $20 by this time next week, then I'll feel stupid. On the other hand, if I buy today, well, the point I'm trying to get to is this. The reason we hesitate to buy is because we have a short-term outlook. What if it goes up? What if it goes down in the next week, in the next day, in the next several hours? If you're going to go into the gold, you should be going in from a long-term perspective. The idea behind it is not to invest in gold today in anticipation of making a killing by sometime this afternoon or tomorrow morning or within a week. That's speculation. We're not talking about speculation on this program. We're talking about investing, which takes a longer-term view. And when you take the longer-term view, and you get away from the fear of, oh, my gosh, I'm going to feel stupid. If the price goes down tomorrow, I'm going to feel dumb. Forget tomorrow. This is about 60 days, 90 days, 365 days, 2 or 3 years from now. That's where you've got to take a look at your time frame and say, look, I don't care what the price is today. What's it going to be at the time that I am concerned about? When do I want to and how am I investing in terms of 6 months, 6 years, 2 years? Where do I put my time frame? What's going to happen to gold between now and the end of the time frame that I'm concerned about? And if you're only worried, if you only focus on, just the immediate, you're going to hesitate. If you take a longer-term view, your course of action becomes obvious, and it's not threatening, it's not cause for anxiety. You realize, I'm getting the deal now. Yes, it might go down a little bit tomorrow, or who knows what's going to happen, but 2 years, 3 years, 5 years from now, I might get rich. Do you see what I'm saying, Melody?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can't time the market.
But that's what it comes down to, especially not immediately. We can time it in terms of what's in the sense we can vaguely time it in terms of 1 year, 2 years into the future. We can sit back and say, look, gold is going to be higher. All right. I don't know what it's going to do tomorrow. I don't know what it's going to do before closing today. You know? But a year from now? And if you think in those terms, then your investment decisions become relatively simple. Don't get caught up worrying about what's going to happen in the next, you know, minutes, hours, days, even weeks. Don't worry about it.
And you know,
think in long terms, and then it becomes easy.
I think to some degree also there's so much because everybody turns to the internet anymore. And even those that are just on shortwave, there's a lot of programs, a lot of opinions. There's a lot of choices. And we're going to be talking about mining shares tomorrow. But I mean, I think people are being bombarded with newsletters and suggestions and how to save. Do you put your money here? Do you put it overseas? Do you put it in these penny stocks? You go into. So I think people are confused. They're scared and they don't want to do anything. They might be comfortable with seeing their quarterly statements from their 401s, their pension plans coming in. They're up, you know, for the year from the last quarter. And, you know, they say, well, I'm going to wait and see how this is going to unfold before I make any drastic moves. We got taxes coming up, so maybe we'll wait. And I'm not sure if they're just making excuses so they don't move or, you know, how much of an impact it does have from all these various sectors. But there's a lot of choices, and it's difficult, no doubt about it.
I know. It's difficult, and it predisposes all of us to a certain measure of anxiety. You're betting your future on your investments. And this is no longer... There was a time for most of my life. We've had ups and downs in the stock market, for example. So it's high, we have lows, and so on. But generally speaking, you could sit back and say, well, if I bought a stock in 1950, it would be worth more in 1980. And if I bought it in 1970, it would be more in 1990, and so on. We had great optimism that almost no matter what we did, we'd probably come out ahead. Specific stocks might not serve us well, but generally speaking, the trend was up. We don't have that trend in most investments right now. We don't have the same level of confidence we once had. And as a result, we become anxious and we become, oh, I don't know, should I or should I not? And we tend to procrastinate. Again, you go back to gold. It's been working for 4,000 or 5,000 years. And it will, virtual certainty, I don't think anyone, if you could talk to people who say there's going to be a significant decline in gold even this year. They still expect a significant decline this year. I don't think it's going to happen, but who can say? I don't know. Right? But who thinks that gold isn't going to be worth a great deal more 3 years from now, 2 years from now, even 1 year from now? You know, who doubts that gold is going to have a higher price this time a year from now than it has right now? Some people do, but not many. In 2 years, virtually, it seems almost impossible, and so on. And you go further into time. So, again, it's that time frame. How do you structure your thinking in terms of do you need to speculate and make money between now and tomorrow afternoon? Or are you investing for several years into the future? If you're investing, decision is easy.
And I want to say something, too, Al. Just because we admit, we don't know when certain things are going to happen. That doesn't mean we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we don't know about gold. We don't know about the things that we talk about. We just tell you the truth. We don't use the sensationalism of, and we're going to talk about currency resets here in just a little bit. I don't know when it's going to happen. Do I believe it's going to happen? Yes, I do. But I don't know if it's going to happen tomorrow, March 1st. I believe we're getting closer to the time frame. So, you know, you have to be careful on what you say. I mean, there's people out there who've been making predictions for years, and it really amazes me. The more they make, the more they become, the more followers they have, and the more wrong, and they're more often wrong. There's some I've never even known them to be right.
Well, like,
and it's amazing.
It's not amazing. It's part of human nature, because people are not generally looking for information. They're looking for someone to follow. And insofar as we talked about this just in the last couple of days, insofar as you can communicate an enormous amount of confidence and say, absolutely, positively, this is going to happen by, who knows, May 15th. It's going to happen. Well, if people believe that, they will act without doing the research. If you're only looking for a leader, you are really vulnerable. You're going to have to find a leader that you can absolutely trust and that will not mislead you and not guide you into something that will profit him more so than you. You got to make up your own mind. Do your own thinking. Not be persuaded by leadership.
And there are some times, Al, when you can actually predict a time frame. And we could in 2008. We knew you had the adjustable rates that were going to be adjusted. I mean, certain things were coming together, and we knew those time frames. But it happens rarely. This morning, watching CNBC, I heard a person's name dropped saying that he called it right in 1994. And now, supposedly, what he's saying now makes it all the more accurate. I was like, well, yeah, but what they don't say is this guy has been wrong about 10 times, and each time he's wrong, he just writes a new book, changes his opinion, and goes with it again. Yeah. And if he's wrong, okay, he writes another little book, you know, 100-page book or whatever. And, and it's like people don't see the big picture. They just follow in a very short time of frame, but... Currency reset, Al.
Well, there are people that are predicting there's going to be a currency reset. And what they mean by that term is that the governments and nations of the world are going to agree to reestablish a semi-fixed relationship in the value of currencies around the globe. Right now, for example, we read the United States dollar has a certain rating on the U.S. dollar index, and it's 80, 81. It's been varying in that range for, I don't know, 6 months or more. If I understand the currency reset correctly, now the U.S. dollar index is based on an average, a weighted average, where the United States dollar, the purchasing power of the dollar, is compared to the purchasing power of six other currencies, which are also fiat currencies, and who God only knows how this is all being manipulated. All right, they're losing value. At the same time, our dollar's losing value. So what you get into the U.S. dollar index, what does it tell us? It's like being in an airplane that has an altimeter that's connected. It tells us how much higher or lower we are relative to another airplane. Well, if we're both going down at the same time, the altimeter isn't going to indicate that we've lost any altitude. You've got to have an altimeter that's based on your relationship to the ground. Something solid, something fixed. In the past, they used gold for the altimeter. And that was the way we measured whether a currency was rising in purchasing power or falling. We measured it relative to gold. Now we measure it relative to other airplanes that are also rising and falling. And what do we wind up with? We don't have a measure, an indicator that we can rely on. That's at least a little bit of a background for getting into I can't even think of the term. We're going to change the money, the relationship. What is the proper term, Melody? Which subject we're talking about? It seems silly, but I can't think of the word right now.
I'm not quite sure.
No, we're talking about monetary, not restructuring, reset. reset. I had restructuring in mind. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. What they are anticipating is that the nations of the world will agree that an English pound is worth a relatively fixed amount compared to the dollar, and that the euro is going to be worth a fixed amount relative to the dollar, and the Ugandan whatever they use will have a fixed amount relative to the dollar, and all of the currencies will essentially be locked together in a network where there's not much room for change. All right? Now, the reason this reset is important is because the strong probability is that the purchasing power of the dollar, when we go into this reset, most people who've looked at this agree that the dollar's value will be reset much lower than what it is today in relationship to foreign currencies. I've seen estimates that anticipate that the dollar will lose something like 30% of its perceived purchasing power as compared to other currencies. Now, if it does, those of you that are holding your wealth in a dollar-denominated investment vehicle, you're going to find yourself 30. You're going to wake up on Monday and find yourself 30% poorer in terms of purchasing power than you were when you went to bed on Friday. So this reset is cause for concern. We don't know for a fact how much the dollar's purchasing power will be degraded, and we don't know how badly a devaluation of the dollar in relationship to foreign currencies, what's that going to mean within this country? It's not necessarily a bad thing, even though it means we won't be able to purchase as many BMWs as we've bought in the past. The BMWs have become much more expensive than they have been. We won't be able to import Japanese automobiles. If we had the reset, we aren't going to be able to import as much as we have in the past, but it will force us to start manufacturing. We'll be forced to buy more domestically. So reset isn't necessarily a bad deal, but it will be an unsettling situation where people can say, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. They're resetting the value of the currency. There'll be a certain amount of sky is falling, and nobody knows, will the sky fall? Will it merely bend? Will it remain exactly the way it's been? Don't know. But it will be a moment when people are going to be, to some degree, scared. And I guess we are at a moment where I'm scared because we've got to take a commercial break. Frank is playing our song. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, Karen Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Let's finish up on this dollar, on this currency reset. The big point behind the currency reset is that the dollar is perceived to be less valuable than it has been in the past. Whether the dollar is able to remain as the global reserve currency in the aftermath of a currency reset is a big question. Almost certainly, its ability to continue to perform as the global currency will be diminished. It might even be ended. Huh? All of this reset is ultimately about the dollar's loss of value. If that isn't the primary factor behind the currency reset, the concept of the currency reset is certainly one of the top two or three. The other thing that I expect is the debt. The dollar loses all that value in comparison to foreign currencies. It probably means that foreigners that are holding American debt are going to get beat out of a lot of the principal they have stored in U.S. treasuries. It probably means that, but I'd have to think that through, and I'm not sure that that's correct. I think that's probably correct. If the dollar becomes worth 30% less than it used to be in terms of foreign currencies, I assume it'll tend to devalue the national debt in a way that's good for our government. We're going to be able to pay off with cheaper dollars insofar as we ever pay off, but it'll be a mess. It'll create a moment of instability, insecurity. It's hard to say what will happen. It's kind of like a basketball court that's covered with one of those strings of dominoes. All right? And they're all standing there. The dominoes are all up. But we've got this big guy down at the end of the basketball court who weighs about 300 pounds. And he's getting ready to jump up and down. Now, we don't know for sure if the basketball court is built on a strong enough foundation where it doesn't vibrate, but if it does, there's a chance that some or all of those dominoes are all of a sudden going to go clickety-click-click, click, and we're going to have a serious problem. On the other hand, we could have this currency reset, the 300-pound guy jumping at the end of the basketball court. He might jump up and down, and nothing happens. The basketball court's solid enough. The dominoes may quiver a little bit, but none of them tip over and thereby trigger a problem that none of us want. All of it is evidence that the fiat currencies are not reliable. It's evidence that the fiat currency system is vulnerable, fragile, in danger of serious change, maybe even collapse. And in the end, if you want to protect yourself against a currency reset, nobody's going to reset gold, at least not in an adverse way. If there's going to be a reset and it's going to affect the price of gold, we're going to see the price of gold when they reset these currencies. I guess the big question will be, and I don't have an answer on this, do they have any intention of also resetting the price of these currencies in relation to gold? Because if they do, they're liable to jack the price of gold to who knows what. I mean, it may be that the system finally admits, look, we've got to plug these fiat currencies. We've got to have some sort of a where we've got to have some sort of a standard where they are fixed relative to gold. I don't know that this is planned. It's not something I know about. But it's possible that they would admit we've got to set the price of gold in dollars, for example. What would they pick? What price would they pick? It won't be $1,300 per ounce. All right? It may be $5,000 or $10,000 or maybe a bunch more than that. There's people, serious people, who are predicting we're going to see $50,000 per ounce gold. Now, I'm not going to tell you that's true, but I absolutely insist that it's possible. It's reasonable. It's not an irrational, fantastic prediction. What will happen in the currency reset, Melody? Do you know if they have any plans of linking this to gold? Or will it just be among the other fiat currencies?
Well, I mean, I believe they. I mean, it's going to be all about gold. I mean, that's the only way you can bring stability to a fiat currency. And I think it all depends on. I don't think that the U.S. dollar will maintain the reserve currency. I believe there's too many countries out there who are looking. They don't want a single currency to rule. So I do believe it will lose its status.
It'll be diminished. I'd say it would be diminished, and it will become
because there's still
more
many
openly shared with the euro and the Chinese yuan.
Because there's too many, and we're going to talk about Argentina. I mean, even Zimbabwe. I mean, they all used through their difficult times. They all turned to the U.S. dollar, and so I mean, it is ingrained to some degree in a lot of countries that they just unless they're offered something differently to use. So absolutely, I believe for trade and in order to stabilize, I do believe it has to do with gold. I don't believe it'll be back to 100.
It will ultimately involve gold.
Even it won't if it be 100%.
Doesn't involve gold officially, right up front when they do this.
They're going to have to.
It's
going to
have to implicate gold.
No, I think they're going to have to do it up front because I think you have too big of countries to. They won't accept anything less. Now, I don't believe it'll be 100%. I don't believe it'll be 50%. But you know, I believe it'll be the amount of 30%. It might not be that much. It could be 10%. But it will be a big part. It will play a major part, and if people don't have it, they're going to lose a major part of their assets.
They can't have confidence in a new system without backing it with gold.
Without backing it with gold. Even the euro.
A purely fiat monetary system together and say, oh, guess what? We're going to have a reset of our paper dollars compared to their paper euros, compared to the paper pounds, compared to the paper pesos, and we're going to reset this whole thing.
I mean, how do you think the euro?
It's going to go to gold one way or another, sooner or later.
I believe the euro was initially backed by a small amount of gold.
Yeah, I think it had 5 or 10%.
And why? Well, what was the only way? I'll guarantee you that the countries would accept it to change their, to inflict their citizens with a currency that made all their expenses rise. I mean, it was difficult for the people. Because everything got more expensive when they brought in the euro to so many of these, to all the euro nations. So it was backed by gold, but there was a reason. And I believe the euro was an actual test to what we're going to see with how the basket of currencies will be used, because it's a very similar type program. But
we call them the basket case of currencies, Melody.
Yes, the basket.
Not the basket of currencies. It's the basket case of fiat currencies. That's what we have right now. And the story about the currency reset, this is cause for concern. People are concerned that this is going to happen, and it probably will. But in fact, it's the idea of the currency reset is perhaps as much rumor right now as it is fact. I don't doubt that it's an inevitability. We're going to have something like that. It's going to have to happen. But how soon? How soon do you suppose we're going to see a currency reset, Melody? Could it happen this year?
Of course.
Can it happen in March?
Of course.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. We don't know if it's going to happen in March or December or next year or whatever. But it's certainly being something like it's being considered. And the only reason they'd consider this, whether they do it or not, but the only reason they'd consider it is because the fiat currency system is fragile, unstable, and headed for a serious problem. Therefore, they're going to try to preempt with a currency reset. But who knows? Will they move quickly enough to actually do themselves some good? Or will they wait too long? No. All of it, you know, again, we go back to this time frame. Are you worried what's going to happen next month? March, is that your concern? Or is your concern 2017? What you do about what might happen in March is completely different from what you do about what you can be very confident will be happening in 2017. So where do you want to, you know, where do you want to focus your time?
I think things are going to happen so rapidly. And I got an email, and, you know, he says people need to stop focusing on the price of gold and silver and focus on the importance of it and how it does protect your purchasing power and for bartering. And that's what you focus on. The problems that we talk about on this program and things that you hear everywhere, I mean, they're very real. It's a fact. And this is what happens. You have to look to history to see what happens to fiat currencies. Why are we any different? We're not. We're not any different.
It always starts that way. Do you know what happens, Melody? Somebody starts up, say, it failed the last 250 times, but this time it's different because you got us. And we are so much smarter than all the dummies that were here before that we can speak with enormous confidence and give you, the people, a paper currency, and you will just love it. And if they speak with sufficient confidence, the people say, yay, we don't have to learn anything. We don't have to study anything. We have a leader who will tell us what to do. And where are we? We played follow the leader, and where has it led? All right. This is the same thing we talked about earlier with people's predisposition to follow leaders rather than do the work that's necessary to make intelligent decisions. It requires study, you know. It really does require some study. It requires making an effort. Some of that study, certainly much of that study, requires reading books and articles and the internet and then magazines and whatever and comparing and thinking in your own mind. Some of that study involves listening to radio programs like this one. And you wind up paying attention and say, well, I don't know. I believe that. I heard this guy say that. Did that seem plausible? I heard another guy said completely opposite. Which one? Which one are you going to believe in? Which one do you choose? And you shouldn't choose on the basis of leadership. You should choose on the basis of research and understanding. So hopefully we are contributing to some of that research and understanding with this program. We're not the, you know, the ultimate source. We're not the complete source, but we are a source of that understanding for those of you who hopefully want to understand rather than merely follow. What else have we got, Melody?
And we believe, 3.5 minutes. And we believe the listeners have the ability to think. And we don't want you to follow. We want you to think and make decisions.
Exactly.
And come to the conclusions that we have come to. We're here to point it out. We're here to connect the dots. And we're here to help you. And but real quick, Argentina, they're changing the way they
calculate their inflation statistics.
Yeah. They came out and said, hey, duh, we've been lying.
Yeah, in fact, they've underestimated inflation for 7 years and overestimated economic growth. They've told people that they have 1% inflation per year. And the official estimates have been 10% a year. Other people are claiming they need a 30% raise to keep up with this. And it's an issue in Argentina at this point. And they're saying, look, you got to tell us the truth. Stop lying to us. We can't solve the problem. And part of the reason we bring this to your attention is because we've got so much the same problem here in the United States.
We do have a call.
Yeah, we do. And we have, what do we got?
Take him?
2 minutes? All right. Well, we can get to Argentina a little bit more tomorrow. Caller, we got Jim from Pennsylvania. Jim, you've got maybe 2 minutes. Hello, Jim. Nope, we don't have Jim from Pennsylvania. Jim, now we have 2 minutes or perhaps a minute and a half, Melody. Let's finish up with Argentina then.
Right.
One of the things that's most important from my perspective of reading an article about this, and it says, with the labor ministry poised to oversee salary talks for nearly 1,000 sectors of the economy. All right, this is part of this article. And what it tells me is the Argentina has too much government. You don't need a labor ministry to oversee the salary talks for 1,000 sectors of the economy. Let the free market handle it. And for me, I can't prove the correlation, but for me, it appears at least, you know, subjectively obvious that too much government is what's causing the inflation. Too much government is what's causing the lies. It's all a function of manipulated markets. Geniuses, leaders, they said, follow me, and we will manipulate the markets for the betterment of the Argentinian people. And all they've done is screw it up. Got to get rid of some of these leaders. Got to take responsibility for yourself. You have to trust in the free market rather than the manipulated markets that are provided by government in Argentina and here in the United States. And if you want to rely on those manipulated markets, you are headed ultimately for a currency reset that is going to make your ears bleed. I'm Alfred Addisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We hope you will tune in again tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.